Now the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart is found in that psalm that we read earlier, Psalm 130. And it is the verse number 4 of that psalm. Psalm 130, verse number 4 is our text for this evening. Where it says, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Now Psalm 130 is really one of 7 penitential psalms that we find in the Bible. When we talk about a penitential psalm, we're talking here about a psalm where reference is made to repentance over sin, and where there is mention made of cleansing from sin and by faith and by trust in Jesus Christ alone as Savior. And in a psalm before us, Lord, is just consisting of 8 words. I believe there's great lessons for us here, great blessing for us. The psalmist here really is pouring out his heart before the Lord. And there's no better place for anyone, any person to be than to be before the Lord and to pour out their heart before the Lord. I wonder, friend, have you ever been to that place? Have you ever knelt down before the Lord? Poured out your heart, the burden of your soul, before the Lord in prayer. And as he pours out his heart before the Lord in prayer, he confesses his own sin. And he also confesses the sin of the nation of Israel in his day and generation as well. Yes, in this particular instance, we can say of the psalmist that he is one who is standing in the gap. He is interceding for the people before the Lord. And such a person, such an individual, is a great blessing to any land, to any nation, to any country. And child of God in this meeting house tonight, can I say this is something we are all called to do as believers, as God's people, to stand in the gap before God. And to intercede before God for our land, for our nation, and for the people around us day by day. The psalm itself divides into 2 parts. In the first 6 verses of the psalm, there you have the psalmist really testifying of the Lord's dealings in his life, how the Lord had dealt with him as an individual. The psalmist speaks of this, he tells of it, he witnesses of it, and how the Lord had being gracious and merciful to him in his own life. Then in the final part of the psalm, verses 7 and 8, there we have the psalmist really exhorting the people of his day, ancient Israel in particular, to trust in the Lord. Well, tonight I want us to focus our remarks really around verse 4 of the psalm, which is our text this evening. But here the psalmist, yes, he's before the Lord and he's testifying of the pardon, the forgiveness of his own sin. For he says before the Lord, he says, "But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be found, mayest be feared." And why it is this testimony about the vital matter of sins forgiven that I want you and I to think about briefly in this gospel meeting tonight. And friend, as we'll consider here what the psalmist says about the forgiveness of sins, if you're not saved in this gathering, if you're not saved tonight as you listen in online, our prayer is that you tonight will come to Christ, to saving faith in Christ, and that you will know the great blessing of sins forgiven. No greater blessing, no more important blessing this side of eternity than for you to know and to be sure of your sins forgiven before Almighty God. First of all, I want you to see here the psalmist's need to have his sins forgiven. His need to have his sins forgiven. And that need for him to have his sins forgiven is highlighted in verse 3 of the psalm, where there the psalmist speaks of the defilement of his own sin before the Lord. He makes reference to this, where he says, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand?" Here he is, owning his sin, the defilement of his sin before the Lord. That word iniquity that he uses there in verse number 3 really means perversity. And it shows to us that the psalmist was conscious of the perversity and the rebellion of his own heart and life as a sinner before God. He was conscious of his own sin, of his own iniquity and transgression in the sight of God. Thus he owns it here before the Lord. For he says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? Now we can say that this was no half-hearted confession of sin by the psalmist. No, it was earnest. It was very forthright. And you see that in particular from the word Lord that he uses there twice over in verse 3 of the psalm. He says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? There's earnestness. There's a burden here. There's forthrightness. There's a real seeking after God here, an acknowledgement of a sin in the presence of God. Friends in our meeting tonight, can I say, as it was with the psalmist of old, as he penned this psalm, so it is the same for each and every one of us. What does the Bible say about you and I? It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Bible says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Sin is the great common denominator of all mankind. There are no exemptions or exceptions here apart from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All nations, all peoples, all mankind, every one of us in this gathering here, we are all guilty of sin, sin by nature, sin by practice, before a holy God. And even the person in society who thinks that they live an upright, a moral life, they're guilty of sin. The Bible says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, the Bible speaks of all mankind as being guilty of sin before God. This is how it was with the psalmist. This is how it is with every one of us in this meeting. By nature and practice, we're guilty of sin. Friend, tonight in this meeting, let me say this, no matter who you are in this gathering, you're guilty of sin before God, and you stand in need of having your sins forgiven. Oh, that you would see this. Oh, that you would understand this. Oh, that you would see the defilement of your sin before the Lord. Just as the psalmist saw it, as he is before the Lord in this psalm, and he says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Oh, think of how the hymn writer acknowledged his sin before the Lord. For he said, my soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress. He knew, he felt his need as a sinner before God. Friend, have you come to that place before God where you have acknowledged and seen and felt your need as a sinner before God? That's the all-important issue tonight. To see ourselves lost and undone before God. Isaiah says, woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Then we see something else here about the psalmist's need to have his sins forgiven. Not only does he confess the defilement of his sin, but further he confesses the despair that sin had brought in his own life. For look at how he begins the psalm in verse 1. He says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. The psalmist at this point in his life, he is down in the very depths of despair. Because of his sin, the psalmist was engulfed with trouble. He was engulfed with affliction, with despair. He was down in the very depths of despair. He says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. You see, sin was a hard taskmaster in his life. Sin ruined his life. Sin separated him from God in this life. And if not forgiven, his sin would take him down to hell, that terrible place. And make no mistake about it, hell is a most terrible place. It's a place of eternal, everlasting separation from God, where men are cut off from God forever and ever. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. The Bible says, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. And the psalmist here was in despair. He was down in the depths of despair because of his sin, because of his iniquity. In many ways, on this occasion, he was like Jonah of old. Yes, because of sin, Jonah also found himself in the depths of despair, down in the fish's belly. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2, it says there, Jonah is speaking and he says, I cried by reason of mine affliction out of the belly of hell, cried I. And that was all due to Jonah's sin. And he was down in the very depths of despair in the fish's belly, down in the depths of the sea. People in the meeting tonight, it teaches you and I a very solemn lesson, a very sobering lesson. And it is this, that sin always leads to despair. Friend, make no mistake about it this evening. Sin leads to despair. It leads to heartbreak. It leads to misery. It leads to shame. It leads to sorrow. That's the fruit. That's the outworking of all sin. Someone has once said, he who swims in sin will sink in sorrow and despair. And that is true. The psalmist was in despair here. Why? Because of sin, because of iniquity. Jonah was in despair. Why? Because of his sin and rebellion before Almighty God. And sin always leads to despair, to sorrow, to heartbreak. It doesn't bring any happiness. That's the devil's lie. When people think that there's happiness in sin, the pleasures of sin, the Bible says, are only for a season. I think of a person, how they might rub their hand against the grain of wood and a plank of wood. They get splinters into their hand. And likewise, whenever a person willfully goes against God, God's word, God's law, there'll be plenty of splinters of trouble in their life. Make no mistake about it. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of sin, the way of transgression is a hard way. Turn with me in your Bible over to Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, and look at what Paul says here about the outworking of sin in a life. He says there in Galatians chapter 6 and the verse number 8, he says, but he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh, notice it, reap corruption. That speaks of despair. Speaks of heartbreak, speaks of sorrow, shame, misery, pain, heartache, and tears. Unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, you who are listening in tonight, unsaved, remember this, see this tonight, that sin leads to despair. Sin will ruin your life. That's what it does. It's a curse. Sin is a curse. It will curse your life. It will ruin your life. Sin separates you from God, and your sin condemns you to hell. And without your sins forgiven, you'll be lost in hell forever, like that rich man that Christ warns you and tells you of in Luke's Gospel chapter 16, when he says, a certain rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Why was he in hell? Why was he in torments? Because of his sin, the awful fruit and outworking of sin in his life and in his soul. Well, the Bible says there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The psalmist's great need of his sins forgiven. He knew the defilement of his sin. He knew and he felt the awful despair of his sin. But notice secondly here tonight, notice the psalmist's cry to have his sins forgiven. Yes, realizing his need to have his sins forgiven, what does the psalmist do? He cries. He cries to the Lord for salvation. Look at verse 2 of the psalm. He says, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. He lifts up his heart and soul and prayer to God as he comes face to face with the problem of sin and guilt in his life. He calls upon the Lord. We see here how he turns to the only one who can help him in his need. He mentions no one else here but the Lord. He says, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. He knew only the Lord could help him. Like a helpless beggar, he calls upon the Lord. He cries out, Lord, hear my voice. Lord, be attentive to my voice, to my cry, to my prayer. In many ways, on this occasion, we could say that the psalmist was like David, or like Peter. Remember Peter sinking in the water in the Sea of Galilee in the despair? What did he cry out? Lord, save me. He turned to the only one who could help him, the only one who could meet him at the very point of his need on that occasion. And friend, in the meeting tonight, realize this, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can deal with the problem of sin in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you from the awful guilt and despair and defilement of sin in your life. Only Christ can do helpless and hopeless sinners good. No one else can. Turn in your Bible, please, over to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 45. Just look at what the Lord says there and at the end of verse 21 and the verse number 22 of Isaiah chapter 45. He says, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Notice that phrase there. And there is none else. Friend, there's only one who can deal with your sin tonight and the problem of sin in your life, and that's Christ. That's the Lord. There is no one else. The hymn writer rightly speaks of Christ and says, Jesus, the sinner's friend, we hide ourselves in thee. Christ is the friend of sinners. He is the only hope of sinners. And my justice, it is only the doctor who can help you when you're physically unwell. So Christ is the only one who can save you from your sins. Christ is the only physician of the sin-sick soul. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, friend listening in online to this meeting this evening, let me say this, to know your sins forgiven, to know God's saving power from sin in your life, you must call upon the Lord. You must cry to the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And faith, you must cry to the Lord to save you. Realizing this need here, the psalmist, he cries to the Lord. He says, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplications. He was dealing here with a sin and the problem of the sin. Tell me, have you ever called out to the Lord to save you? To save you from your sin? I was reading the account there recently of a lady that was saved during the Isle of Lewis revival in the late 1940s, early 1950s. And she was schooled in religion all her life. She knew the catechism inside down, upside out, upside down, inside out. She knew the scriptures. She was cradled in the scriptures from her earliest days at school. Yet she had never called upon the Lord. She kept the Sabbath day. She was faithful and diligent and going to God's house. Yet she'd never sought the Lord and called upon the Lord. Yet the Lord dealt with her. And the Lord brought her to that place where she cried out like the publican of old, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you ever called upon the Lord to save you from your sin? Yes, the psalmist, he called upon the Lord. Why? Because he knew the Lord and mercy could forgive his sin. And he testifies of that in our text. He says in verse 4 of the psalm, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. In other words, that thou mayest be trusted and worshipped and loved and accepted. Why, yes, the Lord could forgive the psalmist's sin. Why? Because he was to die on the cross for his sin, as an atonement for sins upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says of Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.
There's a remedy for sin in the crucifixion and the blood, in the sacrifice of Christ. The Bible says of Christ, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The message of the gospel is this: Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
By the shedding of a sinless blood, by the shedding of the sinless blood of Christ, God's wrath against sin and God's justice against sin was satisfied.
God spoke from heaven of Christ and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased."
The sacrifice of Christ, no other sacrifice could, but the sacrifice of Christ had satisfied the justice of God. And a way was provided, a way was devised and opened up and made for man's sin to be pardoned before Almighty God. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "But now once in the end of the world if He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Your sin can only be dealt with and put away by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
The hymn writer says, "Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood." Hallelujah! What a Savior.
Oh friend, praise God, you can know your sins forgiven through the same once for all sacrifice for sin. Yes, by confessing your sins to the Lord, as the psalmist did, and by trusting in the Lord, trusting in the shed blood of Calvary, you can know your sins forgiven. The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ and says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Oh, the psalmist felt and knew his sin before the Lord. He owned the sin. Tell me, have you owned your sin, acknowledged your sin before the Lord? The psalmist, he called upon the Lord to save him. Tell me tonight, as you sit in this meeting, as you listen in online, can you look back to a time in your life's experience when you called upon the Lord, when you called as a sinner upon the Lord to save you from your sins? Finally, I want you to notice here tonight the psalmist's great hope through having his sins forgiven. He had hope. Look at verse 5 of the psalm. He speaks of this hope. He says, "I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope." Notice the change. Verse 1, he's down in the depths of despair. But now there's a difference. He's in the place of hope. Why? Because he's been before the Lord. He has been honest and open and frank with the Lord about his sin. And now he has hope. What did that hope mean? What did it entail for the psalmist? This hope here meant the pardon of all his sin. Look again at verse 4. He says, "But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." At the end of verse 7, he says, "There with him, with the Lord, is plenteous redemption." He knew the pardon of all his sins. He says there at the end of verse 8, regarding the Lord, He will redeem Israel, notice it, from all his iniquities. Friend, by faith in Christ, you can know all your sins forgiven. That's the gospel. That's the great message, the good news of the gospel. You can know all your sins forgiven by faith in Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, cleanseth us from all sin. The psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." No matter what your sins are or have been, the blood of Christ can blot them all out before God. The hymn writer was right when they said, "There's perfect present cleansing in the blood for me." They were rejoicing in that. And this is the great hope of the gospel. I tell you, it is a hope that is better than anything the world can ever give you or offer to you, or the religions of men that the world can ever give. This is the hope of the gospel. Pardon, the blotting out of all your sins. Yes, this hope meant the forgiveness of all of his sins. What a hope to have, to know all your sins are blotted out before God. This hope also meant power. Power and grace to live for God. Look again at the final verse of the psalm. The psalmist says there, "If the Lord, He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." That word redeem there really means to liberate. It really speaks of sin's power and dominion being broken in the life. Christ says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Likewise, friend, at our meeting tonight, Christ can set you free from the dominion of sin. He can redeem you from all your iniquity and enable you to live for God, to live the Christian life. Day by day, in whatever circumstances you're found, whatever providence comes in upon you. Oh, don't hold back from Christ tonight thinking, "I could never keep my salvation." The Lord who saves you will keep you and empower you and enable you to live the Christian life day by day. To those who trust Him, He says, "I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them." One has said in a bygone day, "It is only by the grace of God that man can obey the law of God." And Paul could say in his own life, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Why, there's hope in the gospel. There's hope in Christ. That's why the world needs to hear the gospel tonight. That's why Enniskillen needs the gospel. Fermanagh needs the gospel. That's why the children of this area needs the gospel. Because through the gospel of Christ, there's the message of forgiveness of sins. There's a message of hope, of power to live for God, to live the Christian life. Then we can say further, for the psalmist, this hope also meant for him the prospect of heaven. Look at what he says there in verse number 6 of the psalm. He says, "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say more than they that watch for the morning. Notice that reference there, more than they that watch for the morning. The psalmist now is watching. What's he waiting for? What's he watching for? He's waiting and watching with expectancy for that eternal morning when the Lord will come and take him home to glory and take all God's people home to heaven, home to glory. As all his sins were forgiven by the blood of Christ, the psalmist, he was saved from hell, saved from the wrath to come. He was sure of heaven. He had a hope in his soul. He had an eternal hope in his soul. He could look forward to the morning of heaven and of everlasting life and glory. And friend, the moment you confess your sins to Christ and trust in Christ, He'll forgive your sins. By His Spirit, He'll come into your heart and life, give you grace to live the Christian life. But you'll also, as the hymn writer says, be possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. You'll possess the hope of heaven. Yes, you'll be saved from the depths of hell and the depths of despair. You'll be sure of the heights of glory and home in heaven. The psalmist begins with despair, but he ends with hope. Why is he hope? Because of Christ. Because of the Lord. And when you trust the Lord as Savior, He will give you eternal life. You have a title deed to heaven. You have a place waiting for you there, a mansion in glory. Turn with me over to John's Gospel, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. And look at what Christ says in verse 3. Of that great chapter, His high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, and the verse number 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." What's the key to eternal life? Knowing Christ, trusting Christ, resting upon Christ, being saved through the blood of Christ. And friend, when you trust Christ as Savior, this is your hope. And there's no power on earth, and there's no power in hell that can ever rob you of that hope. Yes, when you know and trust the Lord as Savior, when you die in Christ, the Bible says your soul goes immediately to heaven. The Bible says it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. And if you're alive when Christ returns, He will take you up into heaven. You'll be transformed in a moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. The Lord says to His people, He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He says, I will come again. What a morning that will be when Christ comes in power and great glory. Am I and gathers His people into heaven, into glory. Yes, was the hymn writer, when you know and trust Christ to save you, you can say yes with assurance, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. The psalmist had hoped because he was looking forward to glory. The obstacle, the barrier between him and God had been dealt with, had been put away. His sin had been dealt with by the blood of the cross. He says to the Lord in our text, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, he was rejoicing in this. He had hope. The despair gave way to hope. They could say of the Lord, with Him there is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Oh, the blessing of sins forgiven. Have you that blessing tonight in your heart? Are you rejoicing in it? Is it well with your soul? Has your sins been dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross? If you're not saved tonight, if you have not that hope, if you have not that assurance, come tonight, seek the Lord. Come to Christ for salvation. The story is told of a certain Christian, wealthy businessman. He was passing from this scene of time. And he spoke to those who were gathered round his deathbed. And this is what he said. He said, I commit my soul into the hands of my Savior, full of confidence that having redeemed me with His precious blood, He will present me faultless before the throne of my Heavenly Father. In this life, that businessman, yes, he had made many great business transactions in life. But the greatest and the most important transaction in his life was the day he came to Christ and trusted Christ as a Savior. Yes, with the hymn writer, he could say, it is done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. Tell me, friend, in the meeting tonight, have you made that same most vital transaction in your life? Have you trusted Christ as Savior? Yes, can you say tonight with the hymn writer, 'tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. Oh, if you cannot come now to Christ, trust Him as Savior. Don't go away tonight without the Lord. With the Lord there is mercy for you. There is pardon for you. There's hope for you through Christ. Our text says, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. The psalmist knew the forgiveness of his sins. It was well with his soul. You too can know that same forgiveness. It can be well with your soul in time. If you come as a repentant sinner and trust Christ as Savior. We're going to close our meeting with a word of prayer. If you're not saved tonight and there's a concern in your soul, have that matter settled tonight, dealt with through the blood of the cross. If I can be of any help to you, I'd be in no hurry away. Be glad to take time with you. Open the Word of God with you and point you to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us in this meeting house. Bless Thy Word, Lord. Bless Thy truth to every heart. We thank Thee, Lord, for each one in the gathering who can rejoice in Christ tonight, who has hope in Christ, whose sins have been forgiven by the blood of Christ. But Lord, for any in the gathering who has not that hope, any listening in online, and they are without God, without hope, speak to them tonight, Lord, when the voice of man is silent. May they come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Part us with your fear and favour. Take us, Lord, to our homes in safety. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit with all who know and love thee this night and always. Amen. Amen.